to present our results of the information security and technology audit. Metro uses information technology to collect, process, and maintain data to support operations and decision making. IT can make Metro services more efficient and convenient to its customers, but it can also pose risks for information security. The purpose of this audit was to determine if Metro's governance structure was effective for managing information security risks by examining three areas: surveillance camera usage, payment card data protections, and cloud computing applications. Effective governance ensures risks and resources are managed efficiently. Elements of effective governance can be organized into three interrelated categories, including authority, processes and planning, and oversight. Before I turn it over to Simone to talk about the results of the audit, I want to give some background and context for this audit. In 2009, we issued an audit of IT that found some key organizational elements were missing, including out-of-date strategic plan and the lack of a governance body to prioritize projects and set standards for the agency. We did a 2013 follow-up on that audit and found that progress was made on all of those recommendations. Among the things that we noted was that a project management office had been created to help prioritize IT projects, and that the department had drafted a five-year strategic plan that gave an overview of its values, mission, and goals. However, 2017, external assessment was done of the department that found that there was more room for improvement and that the department was struggling to provide high-quality services to the rest of the departments. The assessment recommended that IS, the Information Security Department, review its outstanding work across the agency as a basis to inform its strategic plan. And this year's budget contains about $150,000 to implement or to develop the strategic plan. With that, I'll turn it over to Simone to talk about the results of our most recent audit.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Simone Reddy. Overall, we found that stronger governance was needed to manage both IT resources and information security risks. We used two sets of criteria to determine if Metro's governance structure was effective for managing information security risks. General criteria across the categories of effective governance that Auditor Evans introduced, as well as specific criteria within each of the areas that we reviewed, including key practices for surveillance cameras from the Fair Information Practice Principles, standards for payment card data from the Payment Card Industry, or PCI, Security Standards Council, as well as key practices for cloud computing contracts from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. We determined that Metro had some governance best practices partially in place at both levels. At a high level, our review of Metro's management of IT investments found some governance best practices were in place. However, those elements were not designed or carried out effectively to manage IT resources. We found that in 2012, Metro created a committee for IT projects, but it was disbanded in 2015. The IS, or Information Services Department, documented its five-year mission-critical efforts, but they were not prioritized. And responsibility for managing IT was shared by departments, which gave IS less authority. For these reasons, we concluded that governance of IT resources was ineffective. We also found that Metro had some practices in place to manage information security risks, but there were deficiencies that weakened the agent's ability to protect the availability, confidentiality, and integrity of data in each of the areas that we reviewed. First, we found that Metro followed some best practices for governing security camera usage. However, more strategic direction and oversight was needed. Policies for the retention of surveillance recordings were developed, but policies and procedures were not established to maintain security, privacy, and fairness. We found that some sites did not specify or fully document purposes for using cameras. Some sites did not provide notice that cameras were in use. And none of the sites we reviewed documented a process for granting access, and only one of them documented which positions had access. In one case, footage was stored longer than Metro's retention schedule. For these reasons, we concluded that Metro lacked governance for surveillance camera usage. Second, we found that Metro followed some aspects of best practices to address the risk of noncompliance with PCI standards. However, efforts have not been successful. We found that Metro's information security policy provided direction for protecting cardholder data, and an advisory committee for PCI standards was established, but information was not available to effectively govern. We found that Metro could establish performance indicators to measure compliance with the standards, conduct assessments against requirements to comply with the standards, and report progress on meeting compliance with the standards. For these reasons, we concluded that governance was ineffective to comply with the PCI standards. Third, we found Metro had some policies and guidance to govern cloud computing technology, but Metro's cloud computing contracts partially met key practices. The contracts that we reviewed adequately addressed roles and responsibilities, but we found that more detail was needed for contract performance measures, additional clarity was needed regarding security, and contracts did not specify enforceable actions for lack of performance. For these reasons, we concluded that governance of cloud computing would benefit from more thorough contract language. We also found a list of approved cloud storage providers had not been published per Metro's information security policy, and that a long-term plan for cloud technology needed to be developed. We made recommendations to improve governance of IT and information security that Auditor Evans will present.
Yeah, so the audit included 7 recommendations. To improve governance of information technology, we recommended that a strategic plan be created and a governance body be created to implement it. To improve information security governance, we recommend that Metro develop policies and procedures for surveillance camera usage, take actions to comply with payment card industry data protection standards, and strengthen contracts for cloud computing applications, as well as following the policy to publish a list of approved applications and develop a long-term plan for their use. I want to thank Information Security Director Rachel Coe and her team for their assistance during the audit, and I'd also like to acknowledge Zane Potter, who worked on this audit as well. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have, or if you want to wait until after you hear the management response, we can do that at that time.
We can certainly take questions now, and then I would ask both Rachel and our Deputy COO, Andrew Scott, for any response. But are there any questions right now for the auditor? No. All right. Thank you.
I'm going to turn it over to Rachel Coe, who's the Director of Information Services, to give this overall to walk through the management response. But I do want to thank the auditor for this audit. He and I have joked that there are a number of issues within the Deputy CEO's portfolio that are under audit right now. I assume that's part of my first year's onboarding hazing. Yeah. But I really do appreciate it, and there are a number of things here that I think we can make some improvement on and appreciate those recommendations. And I'll turn it over to Director Coe to walk through some of the specifics.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Council President Peterson, members of Council, my name is Rachel Coe. I'm the Director of Information Services at Metro. I want to thank you for the opportunity to respond to the information security audit performed by the Metro Auditor. And I want to thank the auditor and his staff for their work on this important topic and appreciate the recommendations provided. Securing the public's information and information of our employees is an important part of honoring Metro's value of public trust. As the auditor points out, we have addressed many of the foundational pieces needed for strong security practices, such as security policies, retention schedules, and guidance on systems. It should also be noted that Metro has a number of layers of security embedded in our systems to protect our information, and we are continuously adding more. However, we do recognize the value of creating a stronger governance structure. We agree with the auditor's overall recommendations, and I would like to briefly address some of them here. The first two recommendations related to developing and implementing a strategic plan, and they are already on the work plan for information services, as the auditor mentioned. We're reviewing proposals now to help us develop a strategic plan and expect to have that work completed by the end of the calendar year. One of the outcomes will include recommendations for successful implementation of the plan. Specific to the three areas reviewed, the auditor recommended improvements to information security governance in the areas of surveillance cameras, PCI standards, and cloud computing contracts. In general, management agrees with these recommendations. A governance group for surveillance cameras was brought together last fall. We will be reconvening this group to create a more formal governance structure, which will include policies and procedures for identifying a camera's purpose, access to video, public notification of video surveillance, as well as video retention. For PCI standards, management has hired a qualified security assessor to complete a FitGap assessment. That assessment will provide information about our compliance with PCI standards and will allow us to complete the filing of the self-assessment questionnaire and the attestation of compliance. We anticipate completion of that assessment by early summer. In terms of cloud computing, Information Services is working with the Metro Attorney's Office on standard language for technology contracts, including specifically cloud computing contracts. Management's ability to implement these terms will, of course, depend on vendor acceptance of those terms. The strategic plan will also include a section on cloud strategy. Again, I want to thank the auditor for focusing attention on the importance of information security and for providing suggestions to improve our service to the public. We look forward to working on these recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm happy to take questions now, too.
I think I would just kick this off with a thank you. Auditor Evans and I have had a lot of conversations. Continuous improvement can only occur both from a whole variety of ways, right? There's different ways to have it happen, and having audits as part of that continuous improvement process, and it sounds like we've been doing nothing but progressing forward. So thank you, and thank you for continuing to help bring best practices to Metro, but I think our staff is doing an amazing job also just with the whole realm of things that you're dealing with, so I appreciate that. Any questions for either Director Koh or Auditor Evans? Yes, I'm sorry, Councillor Stacey.
Oh, thank you. Ms. Koh, it occurs to me as I'm listening to the presentation, not while I was reading it, unfortunately. Clearly, IS has the responsibility for maintaining proper use and access to footage from surveillance cameras. But what are the lines of authority? I mean, there could be a personnel action for misuse of footage. You don't have direct authority over other venues or departments. I know you have interdepartmental agreements governing a lot of these issues, but in practice, what's the path forward to making sure that misuse is directly addressed and promptly?
That's a good question. Thank you. I think some of that will come down to what the governance committee agrees to. Each department and each area has their own set of policies pertaining to their facilities, and I think that may vary depending on where you are. So I would leave it to them to decide upon that. That's not really our purview to do that, but I think the governance committee can come up with some recommendations for that, and we can help them implement those policies.
Presumably the big guy would oversee that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're highlighting and which came out of the audit is that the need to have those consistent policies across Metro. Once we have those, it gets a lot easier then for the departments when there is a misuse or some other issue to sort of flag it and address it as needed.
So thank you.
That's where we're headed.
Right. Yeah. Great, thanks. Thank you for the audit, too.
Councilor Gonzalez.
I do have a question. One of the identified points of improvement for security is our payment and card processing information. What are the biggest challenges to implementing a system across so many different service points, whether it's at our parks, at a transfer station? What are the challenges there?
Thank you. There are a tremendous amount of challenges. It is a wide variety of systems that we have. We have 30-plus applications that we use. They're all very different, and they're specific to the type of system that is needed at the location. I think some of it is that we have standardized on a PCI-listed point-to-point encrypted solution. That will help us get there tremendously. That is a standard across the board. If anybody buys any new system, it has to be compliant with that. So as we move forward, more and more of those are getting implemented. And in fact, we have actually changing out 6 major applications within the agency, 4 of which are being done in the next couple of months. So yes, it's a tremendous work effort to do that. But standardizing really helps that. It helps us with the compliance piece on the filing, and it also helps us to standardize and make sure that those systems work across the board.
Thank you.
Yes, just to overall, I think I picked up some of this, but the overall timeline for implementation for each one of these pieces, I know is different, but in general, it should all be completed by the end of this year, is what I was hearing.
By the end of the calendar year, we should have most of this taken care of.
For PCI compliance, or were you asking more broadly?
More broadly, it sounded like several of these things were all on about the same timeline, but
the assessment will be completed by the end of or by the beginning of summer.
Okay.
For PCI, so we should have a good idea the pieces that need to be done before we can do the filing on that. And the other piece, the strategic plan, will be done by the end of the calendar year.
Okay. Thanks. Any other? All right. Well, we're basically just accepting your report, and thank you. And it sounds like we have next steps in order to make sure that we are safe and secure. So thank you on both your parts, and thank you to Andrew for all of his work in putting all this together. So thank you. All right, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of two items, resolution number 19-4970 and the minutes for the March 14th, 2019 council meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Dirksen and seconded by Councillor Gonzalez. All those in favor say aye.
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 That was an amazing aye. All opposed say nay. We have consensus and approval of that. Thank you. All right, we're on to the second reading of ordinance number 19-1433, which is for the purpose of adopting a solid waste charges and user fees for fiscal year 2019-20. First reading and public hearing for this ordinance took place on Thursday, March 14th, 2019. Do I have a motion?
Yeah. I move passage of ordinance number 19-1433.
You have a second?
I will second that.
And moved by
me.
Yes, by Councillor Stacy and seconded by Councillor Gonzalez. Is there any further discussion? We have staff ready and available if necessary, if there are any questions left at this point. Hearing none. All right. Will the clerk call the roll?
Councillor Stacy?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen?
Aye.
Councillor Gonzalez?
Yes.
Council President Peterson?
Yes. It passes unanimously. Thank you. That was a lot of work from a lot of folks in the audience, so thank you. We will move on to resolution number 19-4967 for the purpose of amending fiscal year 2018-19 budget and appropriation schedule and fiscal year 2018-19 through fiscal year 2022-23 capital improvement plan to provide for a change in operations. And we have Lisa Houghton available to provide a presentation and answer questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council President Peterson and councilors. I'm Lisa Houghton, and I'm Metro's Financial Planning Manager. The action before you today is the second of three consolidated budget amendments to the current fiscal year. The staff report made available to you earlier this month details each of the requests, and I will highlight the budgetary implications today, and then department staff and I are available to answer any questions you may have. I'll begin with the requests for FTE. The Oregon Zoo is requesting a limited duration 1.0 FTE animal keeper. The position will specialize in the care and propagation of California condors. The position will be responsible for day-to-day husbandry activities and other job duties that support the goal of increasing the propagation capacity of condors at the Johnson Center for Wildlife Conservation. Federal grant funding in the amount of $150,000 is anticipated in support of this position. Annualized costs for the 1.0 FTE are estimated at $80,000, and the costs for the remainder of the year are estimated at $27,000. Information Services is requesting an additional 0.50 FTE to increase an existing part-time records and information analyst position to a full 1.0 FTE. The increased staff position will support better coverage of public records requests and records management. Annualized costs for the increase are estimated at $46,000. For the remainder of the fiscal year, they are $12,000 and will be absorbed by the department. Property and Environmental Services is requesting the following two positions. 1.0 FTE Principal Planner for the SWCC team. That stands for the Solid Waste Information Compliance and Cleanup. The position will implement a regional business continuity plan for Metro's solid waste operations. The position will also develop operating procedures and plans for Metro in the case of a catastrophic event. A 1.0 FTE Construction Project Manager for the engineering team. The position will manage technical projects at the solid waste facilities related to environmental systems such as stormwater, wastewater, and pollution controls. Analyzed costs for the two positions are estimated at $265,000. Costs for the remainder of this fiscal year are $48,000, and this action requests a transfer from the solid waste contingency to pay for the current year's additional costs. Human Resources is requesting $40,000 for the following two contracted professional services. The pay equity study, the request for proposal process for this critical project resulted in the selection of a contractor with an engagement price that exceeded the estimated cost by $25,000. An employment engagement and diversity cultural compass survey also occurred, and the two surveys, which normally occur in alternating years, were combined into one to better coordinate the survey data. The combined survey cost $15,000 more than the amount budgeted. This action requests $40,000 from the general fund contingency. Property and Environmental Services is receiving far higher tonnage at the two transfer stations than anticipated when the current year budget was prepared, and the increase is creating a budget shortfall for tonnage-related expenses. To compensate for the additional costs, the department has decided to postpone approximately $5.5 million in capital improvement projects currently scheduled to occur in the fiscal year. This action does not require additional appropriations. The changes in the capital improvement projects are outlined in Attachment 1. There are four additional actions, each amending the five-year capital improvement plan. The actions include changes in projects at the MRC building, at parks and nature locations, and at the Expo and the Portland 5 Center for the Arts. None of the four request an increase in appropriation or transfers from contingencies. Again, the changes in the capital improvement projects are outlined, this time in attachments 2 through 5. That concludes my planned remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions from councilors? No, thank you. Oh, Councilor Gonzalez.
Sure. I had a question on the pay equity study contract, and you mentioned that estimated the cost by $25,000. Can I just get a general sense of why or the proposal and why we're deciding to pursue a proposal of $25,000 over the budget, or is it surpassing a certain level that requires council attention?
You know, I don't know the amount of the original contract, but when we built the budget, everything was in play, and so when the details came out, and as often is the case, when we actually go out for proposal and the details come to light, it ends up costing more than originally anticipated. So the additional $25,000 is in excess of what we originally budgeted at the beginning of the fiscal year. I could get you the total amount of the contract if you would like and email that to the council.
Yes, I would like to know that. Depending on what the base original contract was, if it was $10,000 or $100,000, I mean, $25,000 might be a big value percentage.
I'm going to guess it was around $125,000, the original one, but I will be glad to get back to you on that.
That feels more okay.
Why don't you come on up and introduce yourself? You need to come up, but yeah, sorry. For the record, we need you. Thank you. Welcome, and thank you.
My name is Robin Briggs. I act as the finance manager for Human Resources. The original budgeted price is $100,000 for the pay equity study in fiscal year 18-19, and the contract price came back at $125,000.
Okay.
As governments have been working through this law, we're realizing the complexities are significant, and so I think that's part of this as well in terms of the original bid and now looking at what it's actually going to take increase the cost. So.
Thank you. It stood out to me as a significant jump, but given the explanation, it makes sense to me.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you so much for all the work
Thank you.
I went into this. Do I have a motion?
To the, oh, good grief. Have the wrong page open. Move approval of the matter before us.
resolution number 19-4967. Yes. All right. Thank you.
It's been moved
by Councillor Stacey and seconded by Councillor Chase. Clerk will call the roll.
Councillor Dirksen.
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez.
Yes.
Councillor Stacey.
Aye.
Councillor Chase.
Aye.
Council President Peterson.
Aye. It passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. We are on to the last part and the best of our conversation around the next steps in affordable housing for resolution number 19-4975 for the purpose of approving the City of Beaverton's request for a Phase 1 project concept endorsement for the Marianne Apartments. We have Emily Lieb here to give us a brief presentation and answer any questions. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you. Hello, Council President Peterson and councilors. I'm very excited to be here today with a resolution to endorse the concept for our first identified housing bond project located in the City of Beaverton. I'm Emily Lieb. I'm the Housing Bond Program Manager. So as you recall, when the Council adopted the program work plan in January, we also discussed the potential for Phase 1 projects. This is a path for up to one project per eligible bond implementation jurisdiction to come forward this spring prior to the completion of full local implementation strategies. And there are two goals behind Phase 1 projects. The first is to provide a path for early opportunities that align with our program goals and respond to the urgent need for housing across the region to move forward more quickly while still allowing time for a broader engagement process to inform the local implementation strategies. The second goal is to provide an opportunity for us to learn by doing as we're implementing this new program, to be sure we have the systems and structures fully tested out before full implementation launches in the fall. And because Phase 1 projects will be approved prior to the completion of the full local implementation strategies, we've identified a need for council action on these Phase 1 projects for both concept endorsement or full funding authorization if they're at that stage. Once the local implementation strategies are approved, Metro staff will be authorized to approve preliminary funding commitments and full funding authorizations on the basis of their alignment and consistency with the council-approved local implementation strategies. So what we're bringing for your consideration today is a preliminary development concept that will undergo further planning and due diligence over the coming year prior to a full funding authorization. By endorsing the concept, Metro Council would provide a preliminary commitment of $3 million in Metro Housing Bond funds to support the construction of the Marianne Apartments, which is a 54-unit proposed affordable apartment building in downtown Beaverton. The project is located on a half block downtown, and the site presented a unique opportunity for the city because it's located on a site with four different parcels, two of which were owned by the City of Beaverton and are being committed to the project. The other two parcels are controlled by REACH CDC, which has an option on one of the parcels, which is currently owned by the Beaverton School District. REACH CDC is the project sponsor, and the proposed development plan includes 54 units, of which 29 would be family-sized units, and 11 would be deeply affordable at 30% of area median income or below. It's a great location for family housing. It's located within walking distance of Beaverton High School, the library, the farmers market, and a MAX station. And the project is named for Marianne Spence Watts, who was the City of Beaverton's first public school teacher who lived in a log cabin close to the site of the current high school. As you'll see in the staff report, this project would achieve 25% of Beaverton's share of the total unit production target. It would achieve 27% of the city's family size housing target, and 12% of the city's deeply affordable 30% AMI homes through the targets established in the work plan. And the proposed $3 million in bond funding represents just 9.6% of Beaverton's total share of funding. So based on those percentages, staff have believed the project is aligned with the overall unit production targets and sets the city on track to achieve the unit production targets established in the work plan. The city is also actively working on a full local implementation strategy and has committed to aligning this project with strategies for advancing racial equity and ensuring engagement of historically marginalized communities throughout the implementation of the project. One exciting early strategy that they are pursuing is a partnership between the Beaverton School District and Walsh Construction, which is the general contractor for the project. The partnership would use the Mary Ann as a case study for a program that is aimed at attracting high school students to the construction trades. And so as the project construction is getting underway, high school students would be coming and touring and learning about the construction process. The project was presented to Beaverton City Council on Tuesday, and they unanimously approved two actions. The first authorizes Beaverton's mayor to sign an option agreement with Reach for the site, and the second endorses the project as the city's Phase 1 project for Metro Bond funding. And lastly, I wanted to walk you through the timeline for the project because, as you are all aware, real estate development and affordable housing in particular does not happen overnight, and there are many different funding sources that need to come to the table to make these projects work. The reason this project concept is coming to you this month is because Reach will be submitting an application for federal 9% low-income housing tax credits later this month. Those tax credits are highly competitive, and so there is a chance if this project is not approved for 9% tax credits that the project concept will need to be reconfigured and will come back to Metro in a new form for consideration. But if those tax credits are approved, we would expect the earliest we would expect to see groundbreaking is would be in winter of 2020. And again, full funding authorization would be subject to further due diligence and confirmation of the other funding sources. That concludes my talking points for today, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Counselors, any questions? Counselor Chase.
Oh, a comment.
Comment.
So if there were questions
go
first,
for it.
If you want
to. Or we could just take the.
I have a comment.
I will jump in with my comment then. My comment is this. I am really excited about how we're starting out of the gate with this work. We're a long ways into the process if you consider where we were kind of getting this work in place. But we're also just beginning, and this is kind of our starting point. It's an example of how we're being as flexible and responsive as we can to the opportunities that are out there in our jurisdictions, in our communities, in those places where they have been working for a long time to establish these kinds of projects. And so I think not only are we being as flexible as we can in the MOU strategies that we're developing with each of the seven participating jurisdictions, but we're allowing these projects to move forward in a way that's going to help us learn from them as we develop more and more of these of this work. So, you know, I think when you look at examples of others that have, you know, projects and bond strategies from other jurisdictions here regionally and around the country, we are a model in terms of how we're starting out and moving this forward. So I really appreciate that. I think we're going to have to continue to really be diligent about hitting the targets and remembering the expectations that voters have when they approved this. So we are going to have to be very focused on making sure we hit the production targets that we established. That's one of the goals that we're going to have to be very focused on. And I know that we are focused on that, and so I just appreciate where we are at this time and the work that you have done and that Beaverton has done and that Reach has done to kind of kick off this work.
Councilor Dirksen?
Thank
and
you.
Councilor Stacey?
I'm going to defer to my colleagues who represent the area.
Oh. Well, I just want to say that when we went to the people looking for money for affordable housing. We made the promise that we would hit the ground running and that the money would not languish in recognizing the imperative need that we have in the region. And not wanting to overpromise and underdeliver, we made that promise knowing that there were housing authorities in the region who had projects that they'd identified but for which there was not enough funding. So we knew there was low-hanging fruit that we could take advantage of right out the gate. And this is one of those. So this is moving forward to fulfill the promise that we made when we said, trust us, if you give us this money, we'll do a good job with it.
Councillor Stacey?
Councillor Gonzalez. Thank you, Councillor Stacey. Although I do want to admit that this development is one block from the illustrious District 4. You know, I'm still super excited.
It's across the street from my dentist.
It's just across the street. But, you know, I can see it from my district. It's great.
But it's in my district.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Shout out to the Beaverton team, of course, that's here as well. Working with you and the management and the electeds in Beaverton has been incredible. I'm so honored to work with you. Congratulations. This is a big, big movement, and it's just fitting to me that Washington County gets the first. So I wanted to take a moment to recognize that it was just 4.5 months ago that voters approved this program and entrusted the region and the seven implementing jurisdictions with the opportunity to invest these funds. And this phase one project in particular, coming so early in 2019, I think is an example of how local governments can respond to crises when we have the political will. And this is just congratulations. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to the full endorsement in a few months. Thank you, Emily.
I'm pleased to have waited. All three of my colleagues did a bang-up job of describing this opportunity and the progress it represents. I understand from the staff notes that there are two more opportunities for an early project under our criteria, or are there more?
At this time, we're aware of two other jurisdictions that planned.
You're going to steal my punchline.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I thought there was a maximum number that we can consider.
So it's up to one phase one project per eligible jurisdiction. So there could be up to seven in theory. We don't expect every jurisdiction to bring one forward. At this time, we're aware of two other jurisdictions that are planning to bring forward phase one projects, which would result in one project in each county, and potentially others. There are a few others that are still under exploration and could come forward, and the timeline that has been defined for phase one projects is this fiscal year, so through June 30th, that we would potentially be bringing these projects to the Metro Council. Beyond that point, the expectation is that all projects would move forward following completion of local implementation strategies.
Thank you for setting that context. I simply wanted to say it should be no surprise that the city of Beaverton is the first partner out of the gate to meet the challenge, to get an early project before us, to enable us to participate in funding it. And I wish all the luck in the world to you to get the rest of the pieces put together. And so in my mind, the race is on to see who's next, who comes in second.
That I'll just round it out and say thank you to our staff. Thank you, Emily, for leading this charge and getting us to this point, because there has been quite a bit of work done. To be able to move forward projects at the same time we're moving forward with the local implementation strategies while all these balls are in there, so thank you. I also want to thank not just the staff but the elected officials from the city of Beaverton. The way that they are working to grow their community in such an inclusive nature should be noted and praised. And I just want to say thank you for keeping that vision going throughout this process, because it can get hard to meet all of the goals, right? And I think the city of Beaverton has been working on completing your community in so many different ways, but now has really grown that definition beyond just the initial concept. So thank you and continued success, because now we're all in this together. So, with that, are we ready for a motion? And Councillor Dirksen, would you like to make it?
Thank you. I would. I move approval of resolution number 194975, approving the City of Beaverton's request for Phase 1 project.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Councillor Dirksen and seconded by Councillor Chase. Any further discussion? Clerk can call the roll.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez?
See.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Council President Peterson?
See. Thank you. It passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. With that, we will move on to any communications from Mr. Scott.
Two quick items today. Just want to let you know that last week, Metro's Regional Illegal Dumping Patrol, or the RID Patrol, shared their cleanup numbers for 2018 on the Metro website. As always, their work, while it often goes under the radar, has a huge impact on the livability of our region. In 2018, the RID Patrol collected 392 tons of garbage from 3,803 dump sites across Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties. That's an average of 32 tons a month. RID's been working with community partners to clean up these illegal dumps for over 25 years, and it continues to be a very valuable Metro service. If you're interested in more detail on the most commonly dumped items and what areas or regions see the most illegal dumping, you can find that on the Metro website. Second item today is the Otfalati acquisition. This is really interesting. Metro recently acquired an 80-acre floodplain along the Tualatin River south of Cornelius. The land borders Otfalati Prairie, which is a 245-acre floodplain purchased by Columbia Land Trust 5 years ago. So when combined, more than 2 miles of the Tualatin River are now in conservation ownership. Metro and Columbia Land Trust are in the early stages of restoration planning, but they anticipate it will be a wet prairie, which is an endangered habitat in the region. And once restored, the combined 325-acre parcel will support habitat for winter steelhead, coho salmon, lamprey, and other native fish, western meadowlark, western pond turtle, red-legged frogs, western gray squirrels, and other native wildlife may also live at the site. We bought the land with funds from the natural areas that voters approved in 2006, and it's a really great and exciting example of the of increasing the impact of acquisitions with strategic partnerships, such as this one with Columbia Land Trust.
Good news. Thank you. Excellent. On both parts. any councillor communications? Councillor Dirksen.
Councillor Craddock, the chair of JPAC, couldn't be here this afternoon, so she asked me if I would do the summary of what our morning JPAC meeting this morning, which was our March meeting. We got a briefing on a federal legislative update, recommendations from our partners that are planning the JPAC trip to Washington, D.C., so we would have a unified voice back there, recommending in the off chance that there may be earmarks coming up in the upcoming transportation package that may or may not be moving forward. They had suggestions on what items that we would want to endorse as a region, and we recognized three, one being the Abernathy Bridge 205 project that's been identified by this council as a priority to the state legislature as well. Also identifying the two Barber Boulevard viaducts that would require reconstruction as part of the Southwest Corridor project as well. And then a package of arterial improvements for safety across the region that would impact people's ability to commute safely while providing safety for bike and ped modes as well. Then in the consent agenda, JPAC approved the MTIP policy advisory statement for the 2021-2024 spending period. And the other action item was we reviewed and discussed and approved, recommended to the Metro Council Resolution 19-1959, which is adopting the 2022-2024 Regional Flexible Funds Allocation Policy Statement. In addition to that, we had an informational discussion of regional street design guidelines, which this council just recently saw, with some comments and questions on that.
Wow. Packed agenda. Thank you. Any other counselor communications? Councilor Gonzalez?
I have something quick. This morning, Councilor Stacy and I attended Solid Waste Liaison meeting. Thank you to Roy Brower's team. There are several things that we discussed at the meeting, but most importantly, what became clear is that there are some very substantive matters that we have requested briefings on. It's very complex tiered materials that that have to do with international markets on recycling, economies of scale, challenges that the state and the region are facing, and updating the markets and make sure that we can continue to, one, recycle the materials that we expect to recycle, and also ensure that the public continues to value that as well. I could go into it. I have a lot of bullet points, but I think it'll be a lot better to wait for our staff briefings, but just know that's coming.
Awesome. Thank you. Anything else? Can we go to the other? All right. I am going to adjourn us out of the business meeting at this point. And I'm wondering if we can just